expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program. It's Sunday once again.
It is Sunday.
Will never be the same. And we will not shut up, no matter how much you badger us, no matter how much you screw with us, no matter how much you call us names or whatever, we're never going to shut up. We're never going away.
I wouldn't say we'll never shut up, but we're not going away. We may get you another way, but...
We're never going to shut up. You can't make me shut up.
Well, it's funny because a lot like that song, that new one from Tom McDonald called Names.
Yeah.
That one is awesome.
I'll have to play it. I got off on a freaking, you know, some days you wake up and I'm going to do the music and I'm just like, I'm totally lost. So I'm just going to go back, you know, to like, you know.
1930s when you were born?
No, a little later on. You know, I'm talking Sam and Dave.
Hey, leave our music alone. We had some of the greatest music.
Absolutely.
Growing up
ever.
There ever,
ever
was.
Ever. Okay.
You can knock it all you want, but it was the greatest.
And
they
time
still
to live
play
for
it.
Music.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what we're talking. All the greatest stuff came from late 60s, 70s, and 80s. Boom. I mean, you can't knock it. But you can talk. Talk much crap. Anyway,
and you know what's good about that music too is so much of it plays to today.
Yeah.
If you listen to the words, you know what I mean.
A lot of it's kind of prophetic.
Yeah.
So it's Sunday morning once again. My name is Mark Kitt. I am your host. It's August 21st, 2022, and I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting, a ball of endless energy, and an immovable object, an unstoppable force of nature, slayer of snowflakes. She just heard more BS in a BOS meeting.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. And the kid that rocks around the clock faster than a speeding internet connection, more powerful than high speed download, a 10th degree black belt in RAM, Cyber Dave Johnson.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm sorry. Just the way
I'm just trying to see how fast I can say it.
Pretty soon you're going to be rapping it.
I know. Pretty soon I'll be on the commercial. I know. Brought to you by the way.
That's all you got to do. Dave Johnson.
Liberty. And we are brought to you by Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating. His phone number is 530-605-9575. He's licensed and bonded. Our producer today is Liam. He's been doing a great job in there. What else have we got?
We got announcements. We got different stuff.
Well, go ahead with the announcements.
Okay, shall we do first? Well, let's do Chris.
Chris
Kelstrom is having a fundraiser. It's coming up. When is this? I'm getting lost on stuff. Anyway, it is on September 8th. We are going to be at the Shasta County Fairgrounds this time, as long as there's no fire, no fire camp. Unfortunately, if that happens, Cal Fire comes in, we get booted. But we do have a place to go. We got the VFW hall.
All right.
So we can move over there.
You never know this time of year at fire camp.
Exactly. I mean, if we could be having the dinner and have to move,
you know? As a public service announcement, if you live anywhere out where a fire could be a potential hazard to your property, your home, and so forth, you need to be ready with a go bag and, you know, maybe some kind of trailer that you can pack up quickly to get out. I mean, just saying, if you've been living around here any length of time, you know.
I was going to say, what part of the county or the state can you live in that you don't have to be ready? It's all been on fire.
Any of you newbies? You need to pay attention to what's going on.
So anyway, again, it's going to be September 8th. We'll be at Anderson Fairgrounds. Doors will open at 8, dinner at 6:30. Rock and Peas is doing the food, the barbecue, Santa Maria tri-tip, beer, wine, and guns, and lots of prizes. Tables are $400. Tickets are $50 each.
Well, I'll tell you, that last food at the Gaia with Chris event was really good. That was awesome.
I don't know. The cake was really good.
Oh, yeah, you had a bunch of dental work. So
yeah, I couldn't eat a lot of it, but the cake was really good. I will say that.
Yeah, sitting over there.
Yeah. I heard the food was really good. It looked really good. So, yeah. So, Rock and Peas usually does a really good job, too. So, there you go. And then, coming on Friday, September 16th, we got Pisano Days.
Pisano
with Budget Bowl and all that good stuff.
That's the motto for you.
Yeah, so, and that's going to be on the 16th from 5 to 8 p.m. You know, there's always food and there's a lot of prizes and stuff down there. And that's in South City Park.
All right.
And then, believe it or not, we are going to have the Veterans Day Parade this year. It's going to be on Saturday, November 5th. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, Shasta Lake City.
Shasta Lake City. It's a huge event usually. So, yeah, it's always a good time out there. This is going to be the 29th annual Veterans Day Parade.
All right.
And it's one of the biggest in the state.
So I want to get right to it. Let me, I forgot to plug in here. Hold on.
So again, November 5th at 10 a.m. out there at Shasta Lake City. I don't know what you're looking for.
I was looking for the plug. Where'd the plug go?
The cord. I don't know.
Okay. Ah, here we go. All right, here. Let me get this done here.
Oh.
Hello.
He wants to plug it, plug it.
I want to plug it, plug it.
Plug it.
All right, we're plugged in.
Wow.
Are we ready to go in there, Liam? All right. Cool. And this is from the We Lie to You News, J.P. Sears. Pretty good stuff here. Here we go.
Good evening. People are dropping like flies from a mysterious killer called Unknown Cause of Death. So tonight we're bringing you a special report on this Unknown Cause of Death killer so we can steer your thinking in the right direction. I like it when a good plan comes together. Unknown cause of death has even become the leading cause of death in Alberta, Canada, which is ruled over by Justin Trudeau. So just use your imagination on that correlation. In Alberta, unknown cause of death is causing even more deaths than heart disease, strokes, and diabetes combined. For a little more perspective, let's throw it over to a guy with an accent from our sister station in the UK.
The leading cause of death in Alberta is now, go on, take a guess, take a wild guess, cancer, heart disease, no, the leading cause of death is cause unknown.
Unknown causes was the leading cause of death in Alberta last year. That category leads the way over dementia, which has been in the top spot since 2016.
You better hope you don't contract unknown cause of death, because there's a lot of people dying from it. Let's hear more.
A couple of years ago, unknown cause of death was unknown. There were just a mere 500 or so, if you ever look at this graphic of unknown causes. Look at that. 2019, there were just 500 unknown causes of death. Now it's 3,362. The leading cause of death is unknown. You're more likely to die from an unknown cause in a first world society than anything else. There's a lot of unknown cause going around. What are the early symptoms? The warning signs of unknown cause. Beats me, nobody knows. That's why they call it unknown cause. What's causing all this unknown cause of death? Is it climate change? Transphobia? Or could it be...
No, it couldn't. We'll take it from here, buddy.
As you saw in the video clip, compared to the number of deaths from unknown causes back in 2019 before the world changed, and thank you for all the improvements, New World Order, there's now 7 times more unknown cause of deaths. And it would astonish you to find out how much we're not looking into what's causing the drastic rise of unknown cause of death. And we don't need to, because when we look at dead people, we can see that what caused their death was an unknown cause. That pretty much gets to the bottom of it, right? The deaths are caused by cause unknown. And the thought police want you to know that any further questioning will lower your social credit score. And when looking at the numbers from Alberta, we can see there are 49% more deaths caused by unknown cause of death than there are deaths caused by... And given that has given our leaders very good reason to keep us in a never-ending pandemic, you might be wondering, will they declare a pandemic emergency for this even deadlier killer? The answer is no. While this one is killing more people, it isn't really something to worry about. Trust us, we're telling you everything you need to know. We might as well just sweep this one under the rug because we wouldn't want to unnecessarily scare you. We wouldn't do a thing like that. And please don't look into this on your own. This just in. The CEO of Pfizer, who is quadruple boosted, has contracted COVID. I wonder how we got it. Back to the news. How can you protect yourself from this very deadly and specific killer called unknown cause of death? We'll tell you that in a moment. But first, let's take a look at some heartwarming news of athletes collapsing and dying on the field from heart issues. One America News Network, who are conspiracy theorists and we're getting them shut down, reported that from March 2021 to March 2022, 769 athletes collapsed on the playing field from cardiac issues. The average age of those athletes is 23. Kind of young for heart issues. Until now. It's just kind of the new normal at this stage. Let's take a closer look at how normal this is. As you can see, 500% more soccer players in Europe are dropping dead from heart attacks compared to 1 year ago. Why are all these young athletes dying from heart issues? Well, here's UK football legend Matt Le Tissier with some perspective.
The last year, it's just been unbelievable how many people, not just footballers, sports people in general, you know, about tennis players, about cricketers, basketball players, just how many are just keeling over. And at some point, surely you have to say, this isn't right. This needs to be investigated.
Don't worry, Matt. We're on it. And we have all the answers as to why these young athletes are dying from heart issues. We've looked into what we want you to think. And it turns out that both being young and exercising are now bad for your heart. Because these are young professional athletes in extremely good physical condition, which is bad for their hearts because it means they have both risk factors. Makes sense, right? No questions? Shut up. So if you exercise, we advise you to stop your self-destructive habit immediately because you're putting yourself at great risk because it's bad for your heart. You should have been listening to the body positivity movement all along because obesity is now good for your heart. We can only hope that our well-intentioned authorities will once again shut down all gyms in order to protect your health. Case closed. Right, thought police?
I'd have to laugh at that.
So once you start trying not to be young and stop exercising, what further steps can you take to protect yourself from unknown cause of death? The number one killer in Alberta. Well, the best protection is knowing about unknown cause of death. So here's how it works. Medically speaking, it works by way of a mechanism that just kind of gets you, and then you're dead. So if you see it, don't go near it. You can also call the mysterious killer by another name, SADS, Sudden Adult Death Syndrome, which makes it sound more official and less tyrannical. Aside from those pieces of very helpful knowledge, you also want to continue obediently listening to us as we tell you what to do because we'll always steer you in the direction we want you to go while telling you it's in your best interest. That's it for tonight's special report on unknown cause of death.
If your favorite athletes are still alive, watch them now while you can. The people who control us at the media publicly advocate for reducing the world's population. Don't think too much about that. We're hiding everything in plain sight. And here's Klaus Schwab on the beach wearing women's lingerie with no pubes, because why not? Good night.
There's a lot to unpack from there because, you know, gee, it couldn't be the vaccine, could it? You know, and how many, you know, they're trying to shut this up. This has been all this is about. The censorship is becoming unbelievable. That's why you can't even say COVID. He'll get removed.
Right.
And, you know, I have Five Times August on here. And let me pull that up here. He has been banned from, he got a 7-day suspension on Facebook for playing The Silent War and I Won't Go Away Quietly. And now he's back on there, but you can't say anything or they just deplatform you. So you got to run over to Rumble and everything else. And so I'm putting a plug in for him. Here's Five Times August. This is Brad. And listen to what he had to say real quick.
Hey everybody, good morning. It's Brad from Five Times August. I hope you're doing great. I just want to make a quick video and let you know tomorrow is Five Times August Day. It's August 5th. It's my birthday. And every year on my birthday, I just make a quick post and I say, hey, it's Five Times August Day. Please go support the music. I'm an independent artist. And, you know, it's up to you guys to help get it out there. And this year, it couldn't be more true than ever. I am in the middle of a 7-day suspension on Facebook. I've had two videos flagged on YouTube for dangerous, harmful, and violent content. They've effectively demonetized, I Will Not Be Leaving Quietly and Fight For You. That's right. They're dangerous, harmful, and violent videos. So don't go watch those and share them on the internet. You might kill somebody. But in all seriousness, thank you so much for your support. I really can't do it without you. Tomorrow, August 5th, Five Times August Day, please share the music, help get it out there, introduce it to a new friend or, family members, send it to somebody that might not even like it. Cause that's kind of the point. And, thank you as always for the support. Make sure you do sign up for the mailing list at fivetimesaugust.com. That way I can stay in touch with you in the event that I do get booted from any one of these social media websites. So thanks again. Appreciate it. Have a great day. See you.
So that's, again, fivetimesaugust.com. And we have a guest coming on at 10:30, and I want to try to get all this stuff out of the way as quickly as possible. So here's another one that we've got. This is TikTok. And this is in Minnesota. White people are being fired first because they're white. Mm-hmm. And this is – you can look all this stuff up. We'll do this one real quick, and here we go.
Hello and welcome. This is David Jeff A. Hearn. I'm your host, Jeff A. Hearn. Today's top story.
Oops.
An agreement between the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers Union and the school district states that white teachers will be laid off before teachers of color, regardless of their seniority. Because remember, kids, racism is wrong unless it's directed at white people. As the party that claims to be against racism continues to behave in the most racist ways imaginable, leave it to Dems to say racism is bad, only to add a bunch of asterisks to it. Can't believe I need to say this, but you can't end racism with more racism. It'd be like trying to cure cancer by passing out cigarette cartons. This agreement / codified racist document states that students need educators who look like them and who they can relate to. Oh, so in addition to ending racism with racism, you want to bring back segregation. Yeah, this is getting weirder by the minute. And by the way, just how black do you have to be to keep your job? Because if you only have to be as black as, say, Elizabeth Warren is Native American, then 5 or 6 freckles on a white guy ought to cut it. And when you're done firing all the white teachers, do you then fire all the light-skinned black ones first? You see the problem with racism, libs? It's really racist. I'm not calling the Minnesota Department of Education a garbage fire. Those burn out by themselves. They seem more like an eternal flame of idiocy. But those like Edward Barlow, a band teacher and member of the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers Executive Board, saying that the agreement / codified racism can be a national model. I think you've been blowing on your tubas too hard, Ed, because what you really need is quality teachers regardless of color or tenure. and put a child's education ahead of checking boxes on some woke bubble sheet. Oh, and if there aren't enough instruments to go around due to budget cuts, I suppose the white kids won't be allowed to play any. You know, to end racism. So.
Yeah, it's a good, it's like Jefferson State of Mind, talking about the schools and stuff. I mean, I think everybody should, at this point, just pull your kids out completely, get to the private schools, do whatever you got to do, whether it's, you know, conservative schools. There's several around here, you know, Roots Farm
School,
whatever.
Look what would happen if everybody pulled their kids out. Look what happened with the 45% that didn't walk out, you know, back in the day on the vaccines.
Right.
Let alone if there was more that just said, hey, no, we're not sending our kid to school. I mean, the funding, what are they going to do, I guess is my point. What are they really going to do if, you know, so many people pull their kids out of school, they can't come after everybody?
Well, and as a father who is homeschooling both of his kids, and my wife is a huge part of that, as a father that is doing that, the thing that I look at it as is, what good does it do us? She could go to work and we could put the kids in school and we'll have a little bit more money, but it really wouldn't make things that much easier. But now my kids hate everything I believe. Now they don't apply the same logic and the same thinking that I do to my world at home.
Right.
So basically, what is it all for?
Well, we went to a conference yesterday about how to educate your kids with the Charlotte Mason technique. Really liked it. I think it's really something that you can look into that's very helpful. Already took up some good, got some really big tips that are helpful about how to handle different things. Because the kids are, you know, they're going to, at some point, you know, become adults, and between here and there, you want to give them as much good stuff as you possibly can, mm-hmm. and show them the beauty of life and show them the good things, and so that they'll start seeing for themselves the problems on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's a big portion of what we do too, is we actually explain both sides, and we explain, hey, this is what they say. This is why we believe the way we do, and you can make up your own mind and your own decision on it.
Correct.
But when you give them all of the information, you let them see all of it, you eliminate a lot of these fallacies that are
right
out there. And it's every week. I have a story right now from the Washington Examiner that came out yesterday. Virginia school continued to employ convicted sex offender 20 months after arrest. One middle school counselor kept his job for nearly 2 years in Virginia once he was first arrested after soliciting sex from a minor. Is that a school that's looking out for your child's best interest?
Let me play this clip too, because that before we get to our guests here, this goes right to what I'm talking about, and this is about a story in New Zealand where they are actually trying to they're voting to have 12, you know, under 12-year-old children can consent to a sex with adults, and this goes into this pedophilia thing that's all been going on. I'm saying you got to pull your kids out of the schools, period. But let's listen.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that goes back to what I brought up a week or so ago, mm-hmm. about in Boston. It's happening right here, where, you know.
Well, that's what this point is of this.
It is
a worldwide thing.
Yeah, it's actually
the elites. You know.
Yeah, it's happening right here,
right.
And to our children. And it doesn't mean just because they're in school. This is across the board. You got all these people. You got hospitals and doctors doing this crap to the kids.
Basically, the government schools are at war with our children. Let's play this clip real quick, and then we'll go from there.
Governments across the world, operating under the control of the World Economic Forum, are waging war on our children. Klaus Schwab's young global leaders are systematically attempting to normalize paedophilia and decriminalize sex with children across the world. It's happening right before our very eyes, and the mainstream media are complicit in their silence. This week, in Jacinda Ardern's far-left New Zealand, a judge declared that 12-year-old children can consent to sex with adults. No need to hit rewind, you heard me correctly. The case in question features a 45-year-old man whose defense centered on the claim that his 12-year-old victim wanted it. According to the middle-aged man, the 12-year-old girl pressured him for sex. I know she was a child, but the way she came to me was like a mature woman. I refused her, but she kept coming back to me. She truly wanted to do this, the 45-year-old said of the child, who was 12 at the time. In the final days of the trial, Judge Earwicker addressed the issue of consent for a person under 16 years. Legally, a person under 16 cannot give consent for charges of indecent acts. Therefore, as a jury, all you need to decide is if the indecent acts took place, he said. Then came the kicker. He told the jury, but as for sexual intercourse, a person under 16 can give consent. You need to consider whether or not the consent was given based on the evidence you have. On Monday, Judge Earwicker closed the trial, urging the jury to stay utterly dispassionate when judging whether the Crown prosecution had proved its case or not. Keep in mind, we're talking about a man who confessed to having sex with a 12-year-old and justified it on the grounds that she wanted it. The judge said, it is not enough for the Crown to persuade you that he is most likely guilty. It needs to be beyond a reasonable doubt. Scary times in New Zealand, but are you surprised? We're talking about a far-left authoritarian state led by young global leader Jacinda Ardern, where citizens are being told to put their total trust in government.
We will continue to be your single source of truth. We will provide information frequently. We will share everything we can, everything you else you see, a grain of salt.
New Zealand has fallen, but they're not the only ones. Emmanuel Macron was re-elected as President of France earlier this year in an election widely regarded as suspect. It's perhaps no surprise that he is also one of Klaus Schwab's young global leaders, and France is also normalising paedophilia. President Macron's government voted against having an age of consent in France in 2018, becoming one of the first nations to give in to pressure from an international cabal determined to decriminalise sex with children across the world. This means federal law in France has no legal age of consent, and adults who have sex with children of any age will not be prosecuted for rape if the child victim is unable to prove violence, threat, duress, or surprise. The Bill Against Sexual and Gender-Based Violence was signed into law on the 3rd of August, sparking outrage in France as parents and children's rights groups accused Macron's government of betraying the nation's children. The lack of an age of consent places millions of children in serious danger of sexual abuse in France, according to child protection officials. If anything, that's an understatement. But should they be surprised? Like Jacinda Ardern of New Zealand, Macron is one of Klaus Schwab's young global leaders. They are all hell-bent on waging a war against our children. Love him or loathe him, Russian President Vladimir Putin warned us years ago that the global elite planned to normalise paedophilia in the West. According to Putin, the global elite engage in Satan worship. Do as thou wilt is their motto. It appears he was correct. I said earlier that the mainstream media is complicit in its silence, more interested in promoting big pharma products and acting as the PR department of the Democratic Party. The media appears completely uninterested in real-world issues that have a direct influence on the lives of our children.
I'm going to stop it there, but I think you got the point. It kind of feathered into everything that we were talking about here. You got these global appointees, if you will. Newsom just happens to be one of them in California, you know. And so these guys, are they worshiping Satan? Well, you know, I don't know if Putin, I trust him about as far as I can throw him as well. But at the same time, you know, I think that, you know, with all the evidence that we've seen over the years with this pedophilia and the Satan thing and all this stuff, it's pretty hard not to think that there's something going on here unless you want to close your eyes and pretend, you know, that everything is just fine and, you know, use the left and their media as your only source of information.
Well, and getting back to that point that Linda was mentioning there, that situation in Boston, you had a Boston hospital that put out videos to where you had a woman that was discussing and talking about how she wanted to do gender-affirming care and was there for these children who were ages anywhere from 3 to 18. And normally they don't get into too much of the big surgeries. It's just top or bottom surgery. Now, top is a double mastectomy. To completely remove the breasts of a child and then make it to where they'll never have breasts again. And bottom surgery is something that I don't even know if we can discuss it fully on air.
This is really Dr. Five stuff. It really is.
It's scary.
Not only that, I can't find the article now, but I believe it's in Texas. They actually have a video of CPS telling the kids that a girl that's in their custody that she needs to be a prostitute.
Yeah, I saw that. It's actually, I know where.
I think it's in Texas. But anyway, getting to the point, they got her on film. This is supposed to be somebody, you know, CPS is supposed to protect the children.
Child Protective Services.
Yeah. And they're telling them, you know what, you need to turn yourself out and become a prostitute. Wow.
Well, we probably should go to a break here.
Yeah, we do need to go to a break.
We need to get our guest in here. Our Arthur Gorman is going to be with us.
And Katie.
And Katie, his wife as well.
Right.
He's running for one of the school districts, I guess, is what we're talking about.
Yeah, and a lot of other things. He was one of them that helped get the information out there of this, on the jab, remember?
Yeah, the school thing and the walkout.
Exactly,
and all of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it kind of feathers into what we were just talking about.
Exactly. With that, we're going to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, skate, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Unica Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos. Providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience, it's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Unica Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Fire Media, community radio for the North State, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Yeah, I posted on Facebook that picture of Bill Clinton with that song, actually. You know, the painting that was in Jeffrey Epstein's hallway of him in a blue dress with the red high heels. I thought that was kind of appropriate considering the subject matter. So if you want to go look at that, that's an actual fact. It was they confiscated that out of Epstein's house, and the devil with the blue dress on, boy, I'll tell you what, just saying. So anyway, We're here. We have special guests today. We have author Gorman and his wife, Katie.
We
love these guys. They're part of the team. well, not our team, but the team. You know, I don't know if the team, the big team, you know, the parents and the people that are actually, I don't know if rebelling is the right word because that sounds violent. But the people have had enough and are fed up with the crap that's been going on in the school system and, you know, this CRT, the masks, the whole thing has just been out of control. And now you are running because I guess you got mad enough or I'm not sure.
Right, you saw the importance.
Yeah. I'm Irish, so, you know, right? I just say everything. I get mad about everything, you know, so it doesn't matter. But the importance, and I think the sincerity of you know, getting involved and going, yeah, you know, we need to start taking control of this stuff because it's out of hand.
Yeah.
So which district are you running for? I'm a little bit out.
So this is the Shasta County Board.
Oh, so you're going for the whole district.
Correct, yeah. So there are two areas. There's Area 1 that's more of a central Reading location with the Reading School District, Enterprise, I think Grant School's in there, and then pretty much everything else is Area 2.
Oh, okay.
The whole county. So that's I'm running for Area 2.
So Area okay, yeah. See, I looked at a map the other day, and I'll tell you what. I was on the redistricting committee here for the county, Board of Supervisors. I can't even figure out what's going on half the time because you look at this map and these overlays, and they're like going, yeah, you got these overlays, and they overlay the school districts over this and the number one and number two of the school boards. And I'm like, I can't even tell who's in who, what's going on. It's just crazy.
Yeah, the past Board of Supervisors map more resembled the school district map.
Right.
And then they went away from the school district map, and when I went down to the county and asked them about that, they said, oh, no, that's not why the map looks like that. I said, well, it really looks like my school district map is where I should be in Area 5. I think that's why they chose it versus moving me to Area 3, which would put me out of my school area map for voting for the supervisor, but leaves me in my school area for where my property taxes go.
Yeah, it was all just a big winky-dink. And by the way, the people who were supposed to be making the recommendations on the redistricting board, I was one of them, they didn't do anything we said.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They completely ignored everything that we tried to do.
Move people out of their district.
Yeah, I mean, they moved Del Ball, who was running.
Tim Garman.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, there was a couple other people that got moved from one district to the other in the voting scheme of things.
And, right.
I think Kevin Cry was one of them as well, I believe. Hmm. Gee, that's just a real coincidence, isn't it? All three of the guys running. Just saying. Anyway.
Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about today?
So I'm running for the school board for Shasta County Area 2, and there's three big things that I'd like to talk about. One, and that we all can agree on the safety of our children.
Right? That is right.
So the big thing that happened at the end of the school year last year was the school shooting in Texas.
Right.
Well, everybody looks at that and says, oh, well, how did that happen? Where were the weak spots? How could we have done this better? And the SHIELD program, the NRA, actually has a service where you can go to them as a school, request their service absolutely free. They come in and consult with your school. They do a training on...
What do they have, 501c3 or something?
I'm not...
Yeah, that's interesting to know where the funding's coming.
And then, so they do this free of cost for the staff and the students, train them, see where the weak spots are in their safety structure around their school, make their recommendation, and actually find grants for them.
It's through the NRA, right?
Through the NRA,
yeah.
Okay, to harden it up.
To make hard targets.
Right, and I don't see why anybody wouldn't take advantage of a free service that's going out there and trying to find you grants to increase the safety of your school.
I totally agree with you, but I know there's some idiots running around out there that don't want you to do that for some reason.
Right.
I'm sure they can figure out.
Well, I can tell you I did take that training as a teacher when I was working at Liberty Christian School. And the difference between the training that I'm under now at the public school, which I call sitting duck, where you literally turn the lights off
and hope
go
that
in
nobody
a corner
comes in.
To, you know, hide from a perpetrator, versus the training that I got that gave me skills on how to recognize a gunshot and what it sounds like in different ways. That's what it started out with. The next thing was to have cues on walkie-talkies as to where the perpetrator is so that you can safely run. We taught our students where the areas are where we could get out to go into the nearby neighborhood. We told them to disperse, hide in a bush. We'll find you later.
Why wouldn't we just cameras and an alarm system of some sort?
So they did. They helped us to do that as well. They put those in and got us money for that as well. But it wasn't just sit and wait, which is what happened in Texas.
Right.
And I just want to say they had all of that. And it did not help.
Yeah. You don't always want to be locked down. Locked down is not always a good situation. Depends on what's happening. You want to have other ways of dealing with that scenario, in my opinion, because you lock down, you lock them in, too. If you're not careful, you'll lock in the gunmen.
Yeah, so going through that training and being under that training and knowing that my kids were trained, I was trained, we had a plan that if the person was all the way down at the preschool playground and I was up at the Precious Moments building,
right.
I knew that I had a way out quickly and safely to get those kids out of there instead of just all sitting in one spot waiting, you know, fish in a barrel.
But not at the public school, nothing?
No. So at the public school, we do have protocols, but it is literally lock your door, put your curtains up, hide in your classroom, which is, like I said, I call it.
And hope somebody doesn't come to you.
Are you guys in favor of having the teachers carry? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If they're wanting to and trained, yeah, for sure.
But I think that it should be at the discretion of the principal or the superintendent so that there could be, it's not a free-for-all, like whoever wants to gets to. So,
well, they have and then you have the issues. And procedures in place, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Training. And trainings, yeah. Absolutely, because you can't just let anybody and everybody. You can't just because they're a teacher, you can't trust them to carry.
It goes beyond teachers because there's a lot of people on the campus. There's bus drivers, kitchen workers, custodians, paras, everybody. And if they're confident, you know, they can pass like a CCW and prove that they are responsible with the firearm.
Right?
Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't see why not either. Because,
and I think in doing that, it makes it where you're less likely to have somebody come and shoot the school up and take over. If they know that the people are armed and that somebody's going to shoot back,
right.
or defend themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
If
you're a bad guy, and let's see, school one, school two, a bunch of armed guys that have trained themselves and will fight back if necessary. And school two, which they're not going to do nothing but hide and turn out the lights or whatever.
Because that's across the board with criminals. They don't go after somebody they know that can defend themselves usually.
Right.
It's usually people that aren't aware and can't defend themselves.
In many public schools, they put those layers of deterrence in already. So most public schools you go to, you've seen now it kind of looks like a jail. They have the big 6 foot, 7 foot metal wrought iron gates. You know, you have to get in there. So you look at that and you say, well, that's a little bit harder to get in. And then, you know, they have cameras, but then adding that extra layer where you knew that if you entered in beyond those two layers and got that far, even if you were mentally ill with bad intentions, you could be persuaded not to go there. You're saying, there's people with guns there. Oh, I probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big issue. And I mean, at this point in time, I just pulled my kids out of school and put them into private stuff. And not everybody has that option, which I understand.
No, they don't.
I'm just at the point where I don't trust those schools anymore. And I know there's good teachers in there, and I know there's good people in there that are trying to do a good job. It's the administration.
Right, the higher levels.
The higher levels that seems to be the problem. And so that's what you're trying to change.
Right. I'm trying to change, increase the safety of that, and add more deterrence for people with bad intentions from coming onto school. And then the bigger one, and that's what I've been talking about for probably over a year now, has been the ACE scores here in Shasta County.
What is that?
So adverse childhood experiences. In the 90s, Kaiser Permanente and these other doctors, they did a big study to figure out what causes stress in someone's life and trauma, right, and how that affects them when they're a child and then what that looks like when they're an adult. And they found out that kids that have high ACE scores, so an ACE score is in your family, is there someone addicted to a substance, Are you abused, neglected? Do you have an incarcerated parent? And a couple other scores. So if you ended up with four or more, which most people have like one or two, but at four or more, you were 20 times more likely as an adult to have a heart attack.
Wow.
Over three times as much more likely to smoke and have COPD. You know, and it's just because as you experience these adverse effects in your life, it causes you to go into that fight or flight response.
Right. As you enter you're under stress all the time.
You're under stress all the time. Your cortisol levels are super high. And you're a little kid. And so, you know, our bodies were built to go under stress at certain times, whether you're fighting a tiger, a lion,
a bear. I think you get used to stress if you've been conditioned to it to a certain degree.
Exactly.
Obviously, you know, you know there's post-traumatic stress disorder when you're in combat, and there's certain levels of stress that are going to be a big problem. But adults, you know, and I'm in a pretty stressful business, you get to a point where I, myself, it's almost like a switch I can turn off and on.
Right. Well, you have tools to do it.
Right.
So the idea was like, okay, well, we have this big, bad problem. We discovered in the 90s, they did another study and said in Shasta County, you know, you're four times higher to have these four more ACE scores than the state level.
So probably more drug and...
More addiction, more neglect, whatever it was. Probably all related around drugs and...
It's basically a cycle that happens. And increased cortisol levels in your body can actually shrink your brain and do all kinds of different things to your brain and change the makeup of your brain. So in children, we need to avoid high cortisol levels.
Right.
And these kids are already coming in with these high ACE scores and having this stress and trauma in their life and stress.
God, it's so hard to feel sorry for these kids. It really is.
And we gotta build this into their day of how to reduce these cortisol levels in these kids so that they can come to school and they can learn. And then, you know, they don't have these impulse issues and all these things that come along with these high ACE scores.
Yeah, because it's going to lead to extension of this happening generational.
Right.
To where it's just a trend through, you know, different generations. The same thing of low esteem, you know, no achievements, all the above.
Right. Yeah. And they found out a way to reduce the cortisol levels, and they've even studied this and doing saliva tests. But they said easy ways to do it at school was to increase exercise or going outside. Or having a peak
to lower the cortisol,
levels. So what they did is they took this group of children, they measured their cortisol levels. They would put them outside with a PE teacher, or put them in art, or put them in music. And when they came back, they'd re-measure their cortisol levels, and they went down.
Interesting.
And they saw
actual test. Because we had one of our kids where he was having some issues in school, and they would send him out to run laps, you know. And I had no idea that there might have been a correlation there between those cortisol levels and running the laps. Because he would come back, and he would be a lot calmer, and he would be a lot more centered.
Yeah, and when I've coached kids with football and soccer and whatnot, when they stop paying attention and they're messing around or pouring drinks on their friends. And then you say, well, it's time to run. We're going to do sharks and minnows. We're going to run back and forth to the gate. It's amazing how they run and then they come back and they're ready to listen. It's not the fact that they have tons of energy. They can run all day. But they run, they come back, and that cortisol level decreased.
I wonder if that works in adults, like in the Army, you know? I mean,
right. But,
you think it might work there?
But Katie could tell you, one of the reasons why kids aren't having that outlet is, isn't at your school, they don't have a music teacher anymore, and don't have a PE teacher?
Well, right now we're looking for a music teacher, but we do have a sub. But those things that, in reading those articles about what reduces stress in our kids, and the population that I work with, we have probably ACE scores in the sixes. I mean, it's really, really rough.
What kind of a scale is there, 1 to 10?
There's
9 questions.
There's
9 to 10 questions.
And so if you answer yes, you know, to over 4.
Oh, I see.
And we're looking at probably more like 6. So these kids are coming in with a lot of stress in their body. And they're the things that they're saying are solutions, we don't have at our school, meaning we don't have a PE teacher. We don't have,
You don't have a PE teacher?
But for the older kids, we do. But for the younger kids, we don't. And those specials, we call them specials, where kids go to, you know, music and art. We used to have an art teacher. We had an audit. Our art teacher was not accredited or credentialed, so we lost her.
Where's all the money going?
There's a lot of money right now, so that's one of the things that I'm hoping that Arthur can advocate for on the board, is making sure that we bring those specials back, because not only our kids need it, but our teachers need it too, because that time was precious for us to go through. We spend a lot of time looking at data and our test scores on our students and how to drill down and pinpoint what each kid needs. And we need that time to spend with each other to collaborate and perfect our craft. And we're not getting that anymore because we don't have those specials. Our kids are increasingly having more and more behavior issues and problems, and they're not learning. So this is something that is really big, that we need to combat that.
So who's making the decisions on these specials and where the money gets spent and how it gets spent? I mean, If the teachers are saying, we see this problem and we need to have this done, who's saying, oh, well, no, we're not going to do that?
Our school boards are actually able to make those decisions. That is on the school board.
So that's one of the big reasons why you're running.
Exactly. I can do that at a county level, and so we're in charge of, you know, Head Start in that lower age group. And so my thing is, if we can decrease ACE scores in children in Head Start, which is 5 and under, then we can actually prevent them to getting to our other program, which is
school age,
you know, continuation schools and adult learning. Like, if I can prevent a 5-year-old from having adverse, you know, childhood experiences, and give them, and what they found is positive childhood experiences.
Right.
And when they give a positive experience, it's not even something grand. It's not a big program. It's nothing that everybody's thinking about. It's a positive role model in their life, like a PE teacher or a music teacher or a coach. It could be getting a quality sleep. Like, the state just said, oh, our children need sleep. So for Shasta Union High School District, they said we're starting later, even though they start at the same time. The state wants them to start later, right? Because they see the importance of a quality sleep, which would decrease your ACE score. Balanced nutrition.
Yeah, we got
a few minutes.
Physical education, mindfulness practice, being out in nature, having a supportive relationship. All these things that are free, easy, and accessible are positive things that could decrease your ACE score. So we start that in our Head Start programs, and we see and identify that these children have a high ACE score with just giving them the questionnaire to their parents. We can not only come around the child to give them tools like we have as adults, but also come around their parents too, because maybe these parents are young, maybe they don't have the tools, maybe they were one of those parents that were incarcerated or addicted or abusive, and they just didn't have the tools to figure out what was going on. Well, we could mentor them and bring their cortisol level down as a whole entire family.
Yeah. So it's getting the parents involved with the children as well, which we don't have right now.
Well, and to that point, there was actually a study that came out a little while ago where they were looking at the mindset of a school shooter and what was there and what's going on with their family. They found that more than 50% of school shooters were without a father figure in the home. And they found that the correlation between group activities, especially for males, not so much for females. Females were more, they're generally not even on the spectrum. They're like less than 5%. It's generally a male issue. And the problem is that historically and throughout nature, you have men who act as a tribe, and they go out and they do things together. And so you find these kids that have suicidal ideologies already in almost 100% of the cases. In over 48% of the instances, they actually are sharing with other people what their plans are before they go out and do any crimes or anything like that. But they also don't have any type of outlets like what you're talking about. They're not on a football team. They're not in type of tribal thing that's going to actually give them purpose or give them feelings.
I think we're at a break, whether we like it or not. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to have a hard
break. Well, I don't think we're quite there yet. We're almost there. We got about 30 seconds or so. to go yet.
Didn't
so.
Mean to interrupt, but I thought
no, we got about 30 seconds.
Okay,
never mind. By now, our 30 seconds is probably pretty well up, you know? So we will have to continue this conversation on the other side. If you want to call in, have a question or comment, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The former Israeli ambassador to the U.S. says President Biden's plan to revive the Iran nuclear deal will lead to bloodshed in the Middle East. Here's correspondent Bob Agnew.
Dr. Michael Oren says people in his country don't think much of the president's plan to revive the JCPOA.
We're just scratching our head.
Oren says Iran receiving sub $100 billion would create an immediate threat to Israel.
And then we're going to have to face the morning after, which is how do we defend ourselves?
Oren tells the Salem Radio Network Israel would be forced to strike Iran to stop its making a nuclear weapon. That would spark a missile barrage against Israel, and Israeli tanks would find themselves rolling into southern Lebanon.
So we're heading toward a regional war.
Bob Agnew reported.
Almost 2,000 workers at Britain's biggest container port have launched an 8-day strike over a pay dispute.
This marks the latest industrial action to hit the UK economy. Workers, including crane drivers and machine operators, will walk off their jobs at Felixstowe Port on England's east coast. That port handles around 4 million containers a year from 2,000 ships. The strike comes as people across Britain face travel disruptions Saturday for the third day this week. Thousands of rail workers continued a summer of strikes.
That's correspondent Andrew Stewart. The International Monetary Fund is facing pressure to eliminate or at least reevaluate how it imposes fees on loans it disperses to needy countries. An amendment to the defense spending bill here in the U.S. would suspend IMF surcharges while their effectiveness and burden on indebted countries is studied. Housing has long been a major benefit for service members, a subsidy for low salaries. But amid record-breaking spikes in rent, service members and housing activists say the Department of Defense has not adequately increased housing allowances, and a whole lot of service members are hurting these days. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You find yourself stuck in a timeshare? Get the real facts about the timeshare industry and your options for cancellation. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, beat the largest timeshare company in federal court and has put together a free information guide that reveals the secrets the timeshare industry doesn't want you to know, including the 5 ways to get rid of your timeshare. Call now and get the timeshare cancellation guide absolutely free.
Call 800-859-6688. That's 800-859-6688.
All of us come from somewhere. All of us have origin stories.
From executive producer Larry Elder.
Divine Providence was clearly operating in the lives of Black Americans.
And director Justin Malone.
When I was growing up, we were never taught that America was bad. We were raised to love America.
Comes the continuation of their 2020 hit film, Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom Part 2, An American Odyssey. Pre-order today on Salem Now.
Wayfair is cutting nearly 900 employees.
That's about 5% of its global workforce. As part of a plan previously announced by the home goods company to manage operating costs and realign its investment priorities, Wayfair Incorporated said in a regulatory filing that it anticipates approximately $30 million and $40 million of costs related mostly to employee severance and benefit costs being incurred in the third quarter. John Scott reporting.
Wendy's says it's pulling lettuce from sandwiches in its restaurants in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania after people eating there reported falling ill. The CDC is investigating the source of a supposed E. coli outbreak that sickened at least 37 people. It says it's trying to determine whether the lettuce is the source of the outbreak and whether the romaine used at Wendy's was also served or sold at other businesses. They're advising you to stay away from it all for now. News and analysis at townhall.com. Landlords in Orange County, Florida, trying to stop a rent control initiative.
Ballots haven't even been printed yet, but already a group of landlords, apartment managers, and real estate agents are trying to stop voters from deciding on a measure that would implement rent control for a year in the theme park hub that has been one of the fastest-growing metro areas in the U.S. The Florida Apartment Association and the Florida Association of Realtors say Florida law prohibits rent control ordinances except in an emergency. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Today is Sunday, August the 21st, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including college and pro football Hall of Famer Willie Lanier, who is 77 years old. NBC TV newsman Harry Smith is 71. Actress Kim Cattrall has 66 candles on her birthday cake. College football Hall of Famer and former NFL quarterback Jim McMahon is 63 today. Retired Olympic gold medal sprinter Usain Bolt, 36. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed.
Who draws the crowd and plays so loud, baby? It's the guitar man.
Oh, I guess we're back on. That's all right. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio from the North State. We had a little communication gap there. No problem at all. We're back with Arthur Gorman and his wife, Katie. And he's running for the school board, and she is a teacher presently at this time. And we're trying to get the insights on the problems and the solutions. And we were just talking about the solutions on what we need to do
right over
the break. And I mentioned a couple. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I said get rid of the teachers' unions. That's the first thing that comes to my mind is the teachers' unions are part of the big problem.
Right. But when you look at it, it's there's some things that you probably don't need to get rid of, but you need to take over. So we've been talking about for at least the last year since we started the school walkout with the Reeds is. You need to run for a school board. If you don't like what's on the school board, that person's your representative. They vote for and approve policy and procedure and curriculum in your schools.
And that's what really needs to happen. We need to clean out these school boards because obviously the existing policies aren't working or something needs to change.
Right. If you want true representation, you need to find the person that represents your values for parents' rights and elect that person into those offices.
And we talked about parents' rights a little bit. There's some kind of an organization being put together?
Yeah, so there's California Parents Union United. It's a Facebook group right now. They're forming because the biggest thing is when you go to these school board meetings and you give your 3 minutes and you file your grievance, that's what we found in the last couple of years when you don't have a representative that...
It's ineffective. Yeah.
But also you don't have legal representation.
Right.
But if you were part of a union in California that are fighting for parents' rights to protect the children, and you had more members in that union than the teachers' union, which would be 500,000,
right.
You could have more control and be represented legally. So when you go and file your grievance, first you file a grievance with your school board, and this is how it works in every union, even the one I'm a part of. I file that with my employer. This is my grievance, or a parent with the school board. This is my grievance. They can't resolve it? Okay, that goes to mediation. So now you have to deal with my lawyer. Okay, you didn't resolve it. You didn't say you're doing anything. Now you're personally liable for what's going on.
Oh, I see. So you could actually sue them.
Non-representation. And you could recall them. You can sue them. That's what you could do during the time of those people in office.
Up to this point, the only ones that have been at the table are the teachers and the teachers and the unions and the government. There's no representation for the parents, it seems like.
In all fairness, that's what our school boards are supposed to do. But we've been asleep at the wheel, and we're culpable in all of this, us parents, because that's what hat I'm wearing right now in this conversation. But we need to take over those school boards because that's the top of everything, and they are the boss. They decide where the money goes.
And I hear that this is happening nationwide, by the way. You guys are not alone in this effort. And in the experiment we call self-governance since the beginning is that the people who are going to govern themselves have to participate in the process. And we haven't been doing a very good job of it, is what I'm hearing.
We've lost our way, and we really started thinking of the superintendent or, you know, different figureheads, or the president even, as far as that, as far away as that, as the boss. And we forgot that we're Americans and that we are the boss and that we are the people.
Yeah.
And so we're getting back to that. And we spent so much time since October, you know, on our pulpit, standing there and saying, you need to run, you need to run, and, you know, saying to people, come on, let's go. And so we looked around and said, okay, well, I guess that's
yeah. So I was gonna run for one of my local school boards instead of the county position, but I have a lot of good people already on that board.
I see.
And I said, wow, there's a lot of great people there. I'll run for the county position, and I think I can do the most good with decreasing ACE scores and as another layer of deterrent for preventing other things going on in life. And I think that's our greatest opportunity with our youngest minds to impact in our community so that we can break these cultural trends of high ACE scores. I was just looking at it, and they said the most common things in Shasta County to increases your adverse childhood experience is substance abuse, followed by verbal abuse, parent separation or divorce, and household mental illness and physical abuse.
Well, and that feathers right into the economic situation that we're going into as well, because, you know, when the parents are stressed, when they're not making enough to make a living, when they're being taxed to death, you know, all of those add to the stress that gets piled onto the parents, and then that probably, I would assume, flows down to the kids.
Yeah. Well, not just that, but if there's no programs or nobody's really doing anything to combat the problems that the adults are having, whether it's drug abuse or whatever, I mean, what do they do for them? They do absolutely nothing for them here.
Right.
You know?
Well, and to that angle on the stress report, there was actually a survey that was done on August 18th that actually showed 40% of Americans say they've cried over money in the past year. And when you end up seeing the way things are, it does. It affects families. There's been times in these last couple of weeks even to where the kids are saying, hey, let's go out and let's do this. No,
you know,
we don't have that right now.
What that tells me is this, and we'll go back to the subject matter, is that, you know, the old saying, mind your own business, was a saying for a reason. Back in the day of the colonists, there was no jobs. Everybody owned their own business. They were self-reliant. They produced services and goods for themselves to sell. They didn't look for employment. Okay, they look to build a business, thus the term mind your own business. And I think that, is, in my opinion, is the answer, is people got to get economically free of all these government programs and strings and everything else that's holding them down. Because once you get economic freedom, then you can start to have all the other types of freedom, and that is going to flow down to the kids as well.
Right, just like last year when they gave everybody the COVID relief money for the schools. They have a special name for that. What was that?
ESSER funds.
ESSER funds. So, you know, some schools doubled their allocated fund or budget for the year. And so they only said that 20% of that money had to be spent on COVID-related items. 80% was for infrastructure. So it was a nice slush fund.
For do whatever
they want. Yeah. And they have to spend most of them have to spend that money before the end of this year. So I've heard Shasta High School is going to put in brand new turf on their field. So when you think about strings attached to government money,
always,
to enforce something like masks and vaccine
clinics,
different things, or curriculum. Like when we have that and it comes with strings attached, okay, well, that string attached means that I have to include CRT or FNA.
There's just no such thing as CRT,
I think they changed it to diversity and equality.
No, ethnic studies.
And ethnic studies. They're always changing the name of it.
Now, is there anything wrong with ethnic studies? No. Is there anything wrong with diversity? No. Is there anything wrong with equality? No. But the way that they're teaching it and the way that they're changing people's minds and saying how one people group is a horrible people group and this other people group is amazing, you can't do that because when you pit people against each other, just like the governments and the politicians
do,
you're just dividing the people. And all of us, the people on the ground, the workers, the teachers, the nurses, everybody, we're just working. We're just trying to get through our day, do our job so we can come home and hang out with our family and maybe do something fun. you know, that's what we're concentrating on, these higher-ups, these teacher unions at the higher level, these politicians at the higher state level that are making education with the CRT and with
the
these
policy
different
decisions.
The policy decisions. They're trying to trickle that down into our education system, and that's where the school boards are very important, because they need to be informing their people that this is the policy that they're coming forward with. This is what the strings attached are.
Right.
Do you actually want this program? Because in some schools, I mean, there might be some culturally over on this side of town that says, you know, we love that, we want that, and we are the parents, and you need to vote for that for us because that's what we want. But over on this other side, we hate that, we don't want it, and, you know, we love the current thing that we have going on right now. If we want to adopt some curriculum, we will, but please let us know what it is before you go ahead and vote it in and put it in.
Well, a ton of these programs are like the Trojan horses. It's like anything that the government says is. It's like social insecurity. I mean, you know, anything they say it's supposed to be for is typically the opposite. Mm-hmm. Results is what you get. I mean, look at the Inflation Reduction Act right now. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. So spending $700 billion is going to reduce inflation?
Right.
That defies complete common sense. Well, but that's what they do with even these school programs as well. You know, CRT, sound, you know, or ethnic studies, that, you know, comes in, you know, on bearing gifts, you know, to make it so that we're all diverse and have, you know, knowledge of ethnic diversity. And at the same time, what they're really teaching is they're teaching division.
Well, and to that note, I actually have a study that came out on January 12, 2022 from SchoolRoo, and it was the states with the best and worst public school systems. And it graded states based upon student success, student safety, and school quality. Do you guys know where California ranks on
probably
that list?
Probably at the bottom.
44. Oh, next behind it is Oklahoma.
Who's the worst?
The worst.
I'm just curious. New York?
I was going to say maybe New York.
New York or New Jersey.
Arizona.
Arizona, that's a
really?
Problem.
Arizona. That's... So it's basically in ranking of states that are worse than California, it goes California, and then it goes Oklahoma, Nevada, and then it goes to, I'm not seeing 46 on here, so we'll just go to 47, New Mexico.
Wow, that's interesting.
And then 49th, Louisiana, 48th is Alaska.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you look at the system and what's going on with the children right now, the problem that I see in these schools is that, one, they're overcrowded. They don't have enough teachers. They don't actually have the ability to give the time to the students to actually teach them. And worse yet, in my opinion, is you're setting these kids up for failure, because in the current system, you're handing them these books. You're telling them, sit down, shut up, and do the work that we tell you to, and that's it.
That's part of the reason I'm looking at this Charlotte Mason thing, because, you know, just to read a little bit of what it says, I pulled up this called The Education of Science Relations, is basically, you know, that the curriculum that they're talking about is teaching them, you know, the caring and why you do these things and
like
why
the
you
curiosity.
Want the curiosity, so that you're getting the students to want to learn, not just learning names and dates, but why did Christopher Columbus sail? You know, obviously 1492 everybody remembers, but why did Christopher Columbus sail from Spain to get to America? You know, what was the thought process? And so history is a very exciting thing. You can make it very exciting. You know, these are people going through real things and that type of thing. Or you can just get them to memorize names and dates to pass a test. And one is dynamic and the other is just garbage in, garbage out, regurgitating something so somebody, passes a test.
All of that is not anything that we don't know in education. Like, we talk about those things a lot as teachers. We grapple with that. The issue, back to one of the reasons why Arthur's talking so much about bringing specials back, is that your teachers can't do all of that and curiosity without having time to be able to invest in their program and to build a program that fosters those things in those kids. And basically what ends up happening is, you know, you have 9 minutes at the end of the day after pickup to, on your contract hours, to actually, you know, build a program that does those things. what ends up
otherwise what happens is you have to follow their curriculum as it's set up already. Is that what you're saying?
Well, a lot of teachers don't, and that's one thing that a lot of people that are not in the education system don't understand, is that a lot of the good teachers, especially over time, you build your program, but it basically what you end up having is a stepping stone, your curriculum. But you go back to that canned stuff that you have, whether it's the curriculum or it's not, because you don't have the time to make something amazing. There's too many kids in your class. For me, last year I had 35 kindergartners and TKers in my classroom. I wasn't able to work at the capacity that I can work. So these are issues that need to be addressed at the top, because we do have good educators who want to do well and would if they were freed up and had that ability to do so. And then the other thing that we were, when we were talking about school boards, that is, the school board is autonomous. They make those decisions, every decision. They do not have to pull in those policies that are quote unquote ed code. They don't know that. They're not educated to know that they can say no to these policies.
So, in other words, the boards of education aren't very educated on their responsibilities.
No, they're just getting their marching papers and going along with it.
It's the job of our county office of education to do school board member training.
And that would be Flores?
Yeah, and also this school board that Arthur is running for as well. Yeah, so
what should scare you is that most of the people on that school board, or at least the district that I'm running in with Area 2, they've been serving for 3, 4, and 5 terms.
Wow.
So
they've been in there a while.
And if they haven't been informing other school boards of what their roles and responsibility is to their be representative to their people, then we have a big problem.
Are these guys getting paid a lot? Or
no.
Is the status what?
It's free. I don't know. They might give me some gas money to get back.
I know Flores is getting paid.
Oh, Flores. That's the opposite. So the school board, so it's like a school board for the county.
She's getting like $300,000 a year or something, isn't she?
It's so much money.
Yeah, with the pay and benefits
and
all that kind of stuff. Yeah, she's one of the top highest paid educators in Shasta County.
Wow.
Well, this really is. It's a nationwide pandemic. I have one here that shows that this year, nearly 2 million fewer students have enrolled in public school. That accounts for about 4% of the total population of students that have been pulled out of school and either gone into charter schools, private schools, or gone to homeschool.
Right.
And it seems like on the short term, like I'm homeschooling my kids because the system is not there yet. But the more people that can homeschool their kids right now and actually give them the attention they need, the better equipped they're going to be able to do. And then also the better and quicker schools can actually catch up to the amount of students that they have to be able to give that appropriate attention to the students that are there. So this is, it's a community thing.
Win-win thing all the way across the board.
Well, I was going to ask, are we very short with teachers? You know, because that's one of the problems across the board too, is there's not enough teachers in the school system now because of all the COVID stuff.
Well, you know,
that went on.
It's also that, you know, when I first went to become a teacher and I would tell people that I was going to be a teacher, people would tell me, wow, that's amazing. I'm so, you know, teachers are great. I'm so glad you're going to be one. And, you know, they were really positive about it. Now when I tell people I'm a teacher, they look at me like, oh,
really?
You're a teacher? Ugh, I couldn't do that. So, you know, I think about my 18-year-old self going around telling everybody I want to be a teacher and people saying that to me, I would think twice. I mean, the respect and the reverence that I used to get versus now is completely different. And people talk so terrible about teachers all the time, and they don't realize, you know, there are some bad ones, but the people I'm around all the time, these people put so much of their self. I was going around doing my errands for running for schools, you know, getting all the things I need for my classroom. You know who I saw out there? Other teachers spending their own money, putting their classrooms together, doing things. These people are awesome people, and we spend so much time downgrading them. No one wants to be a teacher anymore, and the kids aren't respectful.
I think part of the problem is this, okay? The good teachers that are in there, Okay, it's one of the noblest things you can do with your life is to teach other people and teach children. At the same time, we've got a system set up that glorifies the teachers that can't be fired, that aren't good teachers, like the guy that's down there in Sacramento or in Rockland that's got Che Guevara signs all over. So you don't see in the news a compilation of these teachers that are doing great. What you see is you see a guy with Che Guevara flags all over his
sales
well,
news.
No, I'm sure the teachers union is fighting for him too.
That's you just hit the nail on the head. For me, I cannot respect a system that has a teachers union that's at the top of it that has been the undoing of this country since the beginning. It was testified under oath before Congress that in 1953 that a third of the teachers union members at that time were Communist Party members. And so
it's the unions that are the biggest problem.
Again, we go back to the unions.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And right now in California, they're forming that California Parents United and California Parents Union. We got 2,800 members, and our goal is 500,000. So if we can get legal representation, and this is what we found out, like going back to it, is that when we filed our grievances, we didn't go with a lawyer. We didn't have real representation. No one really respected what you had to say. You know, if you had real representation, if these teachers joined this union, you know, it would be more of a community union. The educators, the support staff, everybody actually fighting for student rights, you know, parents' rights. So most of the unions, when we talk about unions, they're really just like the local members, the one I'm a union member of and a representative. We're just asking for pay increases.
Right.
Health insurance, yeah, well, no takeaways.
The parents aren't at the table.
Yeah.
That's the big
thing.
It there.
All goes to, like, I always tell people, I'm like, okay, your representative here for the union, they're just working hard just to get their coworkers better treatment. But the higher-ups, it always goes back to the higher-up.
It does.
You know, California Teachers Union and the California Nurses Association backed Newsom in the recall and spent millions of dollars on his so he wouldn't get recalled. So that's not something that us local guys or even representatives wanted.
But we do need representation as nurses and as teachers because, for example, my employer is the government. Here's a perfect example. Built into that Ed Code, they don't have to go by labor laws for us.
For California.
For California. So my fellow teachers, not me because I have an aide in my classroom, but they can't go to the bathroom literally all day because they have to go to recesses with their kids. They only get one 35-minute duty-free lunch. It's now been negotiated because of our local union, not because of CTA, that they have somebody roving around to give them a bathroom break.
I would think that would be just a simple solution. Yeah. I mean, it
doesn't
sound like a big problem.
That was a
fight.
That was a
fight.
But
that's part of the problem. You know, I mean, you have to fight over something as you know, basic human as, you know, being able to go to the bathroom when you have to.
And it was embarrassing to sit down and have this conversation and say, look, we have to go to the bathroom.
Right. Wow. Do you have to be a part of the union to be a teacher in the system?
No. You can opt out of the union.
You can opt out.
Yes.
And there is actually resources and information. I'll see if I can find it. We've talked about it in the past on the show, that there's a separate union to where they've ended up giving all the resources of how to get out of the teachers union, even once you're in it, to where you can end up leaving that and stop giving that money to these people that are undoing our nation.
I think you can go to the Pacific Justice Foundation.
Well,
that's Brad Dacus has opt-out forms. He's been doing that for years.
I knew there was for the nurses and stuff.
Yeah,
I wasn't
for the
sure.
Teachers, yeah,
every
yeah,
union.
The teachers
yeah,
were
every
in
union,
the,
yeah.
every
yeah.
union. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a Supreme Court case that decided that you can get out of unions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think parents, I just watched the thing this morning. You know, I forget if it was Minnesota or wherever, that they're taking back the school board and doing like you guys are doing here,
right.
and the parents are getting more involved. They're allowing the parents to voice what they want, like you were saying earlier. Do you want this, or maybe it was you, Katie? You know, do you want this or not want this? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But they're involving the parents a lot more, which you don't see that a lot here.
Yeah.
At all.
I think what's happening is the parents are not taking it. They're not taking it anymore. It's not, I don't even know if it's a matter of allowing them anymore. They can't shut them down. A lot of these parents are just
that, but them introducing and saying, okay, we're going to listen to what the parents say,
right.
you know, And we'll go with what you guys feel is appropriate in the system here.
Well, a lot of these things, the scary part about this is in recent history, what we've seen, like what you just mentioned, you've got people that are serving 3 to 5 terms on these boards. They don't even have kids. They're just making decisions about what's going on with your children. And since it's an unpaid position, what you end up seeing is you have mainly the people that are political activists who are getting into these positions and trying to fill up the board meetings with things that they're trying to get on the docket that have nothing to do with your child's education, but are more these destructive programs that are actually damaging to these children.
So the newest one is social-emotional learning.
What is that?
That sounds very scary.
That's a new coin term that we're talking about now. And it's basically talking to kids about, their feelings and, at my age level, we're talking about our feelings. We're talking about, how we feel about different things. A lot of it, so far, what I've looked through seems kind of self-indulgent. I don't know. That's just coming from me. But it's basically all that kind of stuff talking about just in general, like a mindset of collectivism and things like that. It seems like it's kind of a lot of those undertones.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's all nonsense, and we need to teach kids how to read and write and all of that stuff. It
right.
needs to be more important. I think character traits would be great, things like that. Back when I was a kid, we had monthly character traits, and then we would earn little stickers or cards, if we were showing that character trait.
What
things like that would be,
determination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those things would be really great, but this, what this is it's very self-centered, self-focused kind of type
right.
of learning at that
well,
particular moment.
What's scary about this to me is I look back on my life, and everything and every place that I've actually seen self-improvement and self-growth was actually me learning to control my reaction to my emotions. And what I'm seeing right now in a lot of these schools is these programs that they're putting out there are making the emotions be something that you have to focus on as the main intent of the conversation. And it's growing into these things. It's like when a kid falls and scrapes their knee. If you make a big deal about it, then kid's going to make a big deal about it and be like, oh, mom, I'm dying, I scraped my knee. But if you're like, oh, rub some dirt in it, you're good. Next thing you know, like, my kid fell the other day. He was getting out of the truck, fell onto his knee. He goes, ow, that hurt. Got right back up. But if you do that and you then turn around and make it this big ordeal for 20 minutes, the kid's going to do that every time.
Right.
Yeah, I want to teach him skills to calm down and to handle their emotions and to understand what they are, but in a different way. I'm telling you, I'm getting more and more into this stuff, but it's now the new thing that we're spending a lot of time on at schools, taking away from reading and writing and math and important things that we need to be teaching.
I'm looking at this thing that's telling me, this is from the Charlotte Mason stuff, and I'm kind of pushing it a little bit because I went to this forum yesterday. But it said that the functions of human beings under education are to form good habits and to assimilate ideas. And I think we are so far away from that.
Right.
That's part of the problem, because if you're not forming habits of cleanliness and paying attention and sitting still and those kind of things, then your learning environment has gone out the window as far as assimilating the ideas.
Right. And to what you were saying, Katie, in society today, not just in school, in my opinion, it's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is how I feel, not anything else.
Right.
You know, and it causes a major problem in things. It's always how I feel.
Well, and the other big thing, too, so I used to run a business. I'm actually reopening it to do e-commerce web development. But in that time, I had 3 people that were working for me, and I had this guy that came along and wanted to work for me. Well, he's college-educated, college graduate. He went to school to do what I do that I never went to school for. And there's all kinds of new applications, like SAS was a big one at the time, but it could do the work of 4 or 5 pages of coding in 2 or 3 lines of code. So I asked the guy, hey, do you know SAS? He goes, no, I don't. I said, well, what are you going to do about that? Because that's something that we use here, and that's something that makes your workflow better. He goes, well, I don't know. Can you pay for me to have some courses on it or something like that, and then I'll turn around and do it? And it's like, no. I learned all this from going on YouTube and studying and learning, and the problem that I see in our school system right now is there's...
Dependency is what it is.
There's basically this mindset in the school system of here is your applied work, here's what's going on. It's not a, tell me the answer and find it out for yourself. Learn to learn. Because that's a big thing right now that we see between the kids who are homeschooled and the kids that are college educated. What we're finding out from a lot of people and a lot of business owners, the kids that are homeschooled are better workers because the person tells them what to do and then they figure out how to do it on their own. And they figure out how to learn those things and those core competencies. Whereas the people that are college educated want a manual and say, here, give me all of this.
I want the answer.
I would also argue that they get more of the arts and the, you know, more of a well-rounded education being a homeschooler because they can explore different things. You know, we've kind of shut our kids down on creativity
and
those types of things, that the things that give them those problem-solving skills.
Yeah. Right.
And we need to bring that back to our kids, and we need parents to advocate for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'm sorry, we do have to go to a break, and we'll pick up this conversation on the other side. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
For years, the Reading Rancheria has given back to our community. Friday, September 9th marks the 20th anniversary of the Reading Rancheria Community Fund. Since its inception, the fund has granted approximately $3.8 million in support of our community. This year, we will be celebrating 66 organizations that we have been able to help, with an evening surprise gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Reading Rancheria Community Fund, helping us to continue the cycle of giving. The 20th anniversary Reading Rancheria Community Fund Dinner is brought to you by this station and proud sponsors.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Join the Cascade Theater on August 21st for one of the finest in-demand rock and roll ensembles working today, Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real. Lucas Nelson and POTR have wowed audiences and won fans with their fiery stage performances and singular sounds, which smoothly straddles rock and roll, country, soul, folk, and R&B. This will be a night you won't forget. Purchase tickets at CascadeTheater.org or 243-8877 for a night of a lifetime with Lucas Nelson and POTR on August 21st at the Cascade Theater.
I think we're back.
We are back.
Okay, so we were talking about social emotional. I want to kind of try to get back on track here a little bit. And I want to also look at tenure, too, as far as being able to get rid of the bad teachers. So we were just talking over the break about, I think you really hit on it when you were talking about the music and the arts being, should be really a part of learning, because that gives the students something to care about, something that's beautiful. And I think that the more that they see the beauty of actually learning stuff, whether, you know, the beauty of math if you're Einstein, or the beauty of music if you're a concert pianist, or the beauty of being an athlete if you want to go to the Olympics, those are the things I think that the kids have to get involved in their own minds to care enough to understand why they're there in the first place.
Right. So that positive experiences.
It's positive experiences, yeah. So So you can have positive experiences that reinforce negativity, you know, but I think you got to go positive experiences that reinforce positive, you know, events and so forth.
Well, with that, I would say it becomes a competition with yourself too, which increases, your feelings and being able to go to the next step, in my opinion, because if you're doing the arts or you're doing the running or you're doing what you, it becomes a competition with yourself. I can do better. Mm-hmm. I can go to the next level.
It becomes exciting. It becomes fun.
Yeah, it makes it where you want to do it and not have to have somebody cram it down your throat.
Well, those areas, like, for instance, in the arts, my daughter, a senior this year, she was so excited. Over the weekend, she spent all weekend long writing her own lesson plans because her teacher told her she could for her art class. So that gives you the room to be able to give kids the reins to be able to explore their own curiosities and get excited about learning. And so, you know, I feel like that's really important. And then we can still be rigor and standards-based and all of those things. While also giving kids those outlets to do that.
Right.
Yeah. And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Richard, I believe it says on the board. Good morning, Richard.
Hey there.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, am my volume good?
Yep.
Yeah. Not bad.
Hey, I'm also running with Author for Cass County Board, County Board Area 2.
That's right.
I'm not sure if Author has seen my email. I have emailed Mr. McFarland and Ms. Hull, the two incumbents. And Ms. Hull, I'm trying to get a debate with these folks, and Ms. Hull has not responded. Mr. McFarland has responded, basically saying he has 29 years in various committees and commissions, and he does not basically see a need to have a debate, and he will allow the voters to decide. So you can read that a few different ways, but, you know, whether he's arrogant or feels entitled, or maybe he thinks maybe there may be some voter irregularities and maybe it will keep him in office. I do not know. So anyway, so that debate is not likely going to happen, although we have called for it. So, but you know, hey, this County Board of Education, these kids need help. They absolutely need help after the destruction of their education in the last 2 years. But there's going to be a balance. There's going to be a fine line and a balance between making these kids more dependent on school and programs to help fix the problems versus bringing the adults, bringing in the parents, and showing and teaching them how to fix the problems at home and helping their kids with schoolwork at home. That's going to be a fine balance, but I think we can probably find that.
So you guys are running for exactly the same position against one another?
No, there's two positions open.
Whoever gets the most votes is going to
Rich, we want to debate the people that are the incumbents that are in there already, but yet they don't want to debate.
Well, of course not, because they feel it's safe not to debate at this point, because it's about these guys get entrenched in there, and then they feel this, that there's an entitlement for them to be there. You know, we've seen it with the district attorney. Oh, you've got no experience. My thing is, I think that the more experience you have, the more you need to get out of there, because the real deal is you get jaded into your positions and you get blinders on to solving any problems. That's why we're here in the first place.
Yeah, you only need one or two terms to enact the change that you want and see it to fruition. So after two terms, you should be gone.
Yeah, otherwise it's a status symbol.
Right. It's a social club where you get to hang out with your buddies and drink coffee and high-five each other.
All right, folks, well, I'll let you go. Maybe we'll talk again soon on this matter.
So yeah, maybe we'll get you guys both in here or something at the same time. You guys can throw mud back and forth.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Tenure. I want to talk a little bit about tenure. I mean, what's your position on tenure? I think it sucks. I think it's terrible. I mean, I understand that you need to have some kind of job security, but I think what we've gone is so far overboard with it that you can't get fired even if you got Che Guevara signs all over your room and flags and communism.
Or you're neglecting children.
We just went over the whole pedophile thing and the schools and all this crap. I mean, and then there was just somebody fired here recently for grooming in Shasta County.
Yeah, it was on the paper.
I didn't see the paper. I heard through the grapevine. Yeah. My kids used to go to that school. And so, I mean, What is going on?
Well, back to what we were talking about earlier, grooming isn't a... It's not a problem
it's not
for
a
this.
Crime.
Yeah, it's not a crime in the state of California. So what's the problem?
So tenure. How do you? What do you guys think?
Well, I do think that teachers need to have a somewhat of a buffer system because you know you have a system where they're moving up the ladder as far as pay goes. How much easier is it to just you know when in lean times they'll can the veteran teachers for just because they cost more. You know, there's things like that. There's parents that are completely unreasonable that come together and, you know, hate you for whatever reason. There's a lot of things that can happen. Also, you know, in my job, I'm not always telling people what they want to hear, and I don't want to be a customer service representative. And if I was out there flapping in the wind and I didn't have some protections, then, you know, like I see, honestly, in the Christian schools, where they cater to the parents with the money for that can give money to the schools and things like that, or the ones that are on the board, because their jobs are not secure. Those are issues that we all need to work through as we dissolve the union. And, right. You know, because right
so
at this
like
point.
It's the school board's job to look at the teachers.
They don't have any. Right now, as we stand, nobody can do anything to a teacher. I mean, right. From what I've seen.
That doesn't sound
they
good.
Can
I mean,
go,
you'd have to groom a student to
they
get
can,
fired.
Oh, no. They can go all school year long and not even show up, like no call, no show. Then turn up. You know,
see, here's the way I look at it. I've been in business for 39 years, 38 years, whatever. If I don't do my business well, if I don't perform the task that I'm assigned to the satisfaction of my customer, they fire me. Okay? I'm not going to be in business very long if I'm not performing. And I think that should be a performance review situation with the parents. I mean, obviously there's going to be things that go back and forth. But you can't be so entrenched that you can do whatever you want and they still can't get rid of you.
I get that, but we're not in a system where it's a customer service situation.
Well, I disagree because the parents are the ones that are the customers.
Yeah, I understand that, but what you have, if you have that, then you have an influential parent getting their kids all the services, all the help, and people bending over backwards at the detrimental of this little guy over here that doesn't have the influence that this other person has. So, and because, you know, we're still working within a public education system where everyone, I mean, unless you want to absolve that completely, that's a completely different conversation. But
right.
If we're working within this system, then everybody's paying in, and this is everybody's entitled to a free and appropriate education. So there is some level that you have to work on where, you know, you're telling people no sometimes. And that is an issue because then you have a power player who can go around and gather everybody up and just get you fired because they don't like you.
What's the solution?
Well, it seems like a reasonable solution in this case would be what parents have been saying all along. We need our teachers to focus on the task that they're assigned. You're focused on teaching math, you teach math. If you go outside of that realm, teach math, and you're trying to teach your emotions or you're trying to teach what goes on between you and your husband or wife in the bedroom or anything like that, then you're gone. You're done. But if you actually stay on task and stick to the course at hand and you do your job, it's just like anything else. You wouldn't be fired without cause.
See, I don't think you should be entitled to a free education. I don't think it is free. I pay property taxes. Right. And so I don't think that it is free. I think people are paying for it, and right. They should have some control over their employees.
And right now, like, you could take your kid, if you don't like a particular school, you can transfer to whatever school you want.
But I still have to pay my property tax.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem right there in a nutshell.
That district.
Property, unfortunately, they took all that away from you, too, because you don't even really, I mean, our property taxes don't really pay for education anymore. Mm-hmm. They've changed that completely.
Well, what pays for them?
The money basically comes down to where the money used to go to the school boards, and the school boards could actually even raise your taxes in that area and make those decisions as to whether they needed money or not through bonds and different things, which they're kind of bringing that back a little bit. But right now, as we speak, the majority of the funds come out of the state's general fund.
Which they get either from my income tax or...
Well, I understand that, but it's not directly. So a lot of our control, our local control, was taken away by that. By that aspect of
how do you mean
money.
Not directly? I mean, I'm paying income tax directly to the state. If it might be going to the state and then you, if that's what you're talking about. In other words,
right.
We're losing control because the state is involved. Which
well,
I think
you
we
used
need
to have say as to how much the schools at the school board level got.
From the state.
From the state.
Well, then I think we need to stop that. We need to sever that so it goes straight to the school board.
You used to hold the purse strings, but you don't anymore.
Right. That's a problem. Yeah. I see that.
Right.
So I want to go back to the teacher tenure or whatever. What do you think would be a solution? So I understand what you're saying,
so like
but wonder if you have a bad teacher. Wonder if there really
so like
is a bad teacher.
In nursing, with the union on the other side, you have, let's say you have a bad nurse, right?
Right.
So that person, they get a write-up or something, okay, for whatever it was.
Okay.
And so they use a teaching learning opportunity in the beginning. Like, oh, okay, well, then we're just going to coach you through this. It's not actually a write-up. It's a coaching. And then they move from a coaching, next time you do the same thing, it has to be the same thing. It can't be like another thing, oh, you messed up over here or whatever. They do the same thing, okay, well, now it's a write-up. And then, oh, you do the same thing again later on, okay, we did a coaching, and then we did another coaching and a write-up, and now we're at this point where if you do it one more time, you know.
There's going to be some kind of discipline.
There's a discipline action,
yeah.
And depending on what it was, then you're in a remediation and do some extra training, and then you could come back. And that's what we do on our level. I'm not really sure what I've seen on the teacher's level, but it's entirely different, a different job. Like, I'm more technical. Like, what I'm doing is, like, you know, giving pills and giving medications.
It's better than life and death.
And whatnot. Well,
a lot of times with a nurse.
Teacher, I mean, it's so autonomous as far as what they're doing and what they're teaching, and they're just trying to teach math, English, reading, you know, our language. Scores are down. I mean, even the local papers, they're talking about how COVID has affected our language
sure.
gap and our math gap
sure.
and our science
yeah.
and our learning, and everything mm-hmm. is down because we enforced masks on all these kids for the last
right.
couple of years. So with the teachers, it's a little bit different because it's not like a traditional job, like when I was a waiter and I messed up someone's order. Oh, you messed up someone's order, you mess it up again, you're out of here. You know, oh, okay. You know.
Well, we all know who the teachers are that are... Everybody on the campus knows who the teachers are that don't teach or the ones that are just, in general, terrible. I think having a system like that, which we don't have, would be nice. Like a teacher improvement program
right.
is where my brain went when I was dealing with somebody who wasn't teaching, who was doing a really bad job and not helping their students, really... You know, behavioral, not doing things about their behaviors in their classroom, that kind of stuff. I asked, is there a teacher improvement? Like, can we come
right.
alongside this person and help them? They said, no, we don't have that. So that would be a huge thing because, we could really maybe turn some people around and then maybe just the fear of being put in something like that or the stigma of having to go through that would be enough to where they would seek out help before that got to that. And then actually having, a road to, no longer having that person employed at the school would be really helpful. The way it's set up right now, our local union is amazing, and they wouldn't really advocate for that person, in doing the things that they were doing. But then we have CTA get involved, and basically they make it to where it's literally impossible. But there we have an instance in our county right now. I understand that all of our teachers that refused to test, who were put on leave and put through all of that stuff, they're getting their jobs back because they had no way to actually fire them. So, that was one area where I was celebrating that aspect as well. So.
Well, the whole thing was kind of illegal the way they did the mandates to begin with.
Yeah.
It never was any force of law.
It wasn't law, yeah.
Well, then we find out that they lied about everything as far
right.
as the vaccines, all of it, the masks, all of it. So.
And we're talking about representation. I want to leave you with this other thought. the way that they're going right now is that there are several counties that went to a whole county school board. Like, they dissolved all the other school boards in the whole entire county. They have one school board to rule them all. So your representation on every neighborhood now has been taken away because you must go to, like, the Board of Supervisors for your representation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I don't think that was the idea in the general plan to begin with.
No,
well,
so
not specifically the Board of Supervisors. He's meaning
in other words, what you're doing,
one person.
Well, what you're doing is you're taking away the local school district's control over the parents and consolidating the whole thing into
one supervisor, one school board. Or one superintendent of school, school board that disseminates information down from the state. And Katie recently was writing a paper on that, weren't you?
Yeah, so it's not going to come in the way of like, oh, this is a really good idea, let's consolidate all of this. It's going to come in the form of, as most of our things do, tied to money, tied to policy, things like that. So what alerted me to it at first was we were at a debate at the Republican Central Committee, and one of the questions to Judy Flores was, how do you feel about one school board for the entire county? Her response was chilling. She said that she worked at a bigger school district than our entire county, and that she felt like that worked out really well. And
for her,
depending on who's at the top of the ladder,
she said that our county is smaller than some school districts in California.
Wow.
That was like a non-answer answer, big answer for me. That was when I first started kind of looking this stuff up. There's been a lot of counties that have done it, and they've tried it in some Midwestern areas as well. And basically, to me, that was a big thing. You're losing your representation, number one. Number two, the big aspect is special ed. Right now, we pool our money in special ed under a SELPA, and all of our schools give money to that so that we can provide services across all of our rural schools.
Right.
And they, like, one of these children could bankrupt an entire school, but since they're pooling their resources for services for these kids, they can provide that with the money. So no longer is California on this latest model that they just did, sending money to the SELPAs directly. They're giving it to the schools, and they're putting it into their general funds, and they're telling them to spend the money for special ed within their school district. So what happens then, if they're no longer able to unify under the SELPA, then they basically are sitting there with huge bills they cannot pay. So what's going to happen is how they're going to want to push themselves to unify again under a school district so that pool their money again together, but now same thing, but only a different entity. So the SELPAs would work exactly the same way that they're already working, but under that big umbrella. Yeah. So then that was one of the solutions for the problems that they're having right now. So I'm just a little leery of it. I'm watching it. I want other people to watch it. Mm-hmm. When it starts being talked about as a good thing for our special ed kids, we need to remember what we would be giving up, and we have a system right now that works.
Right.
Well, one of the questions, too, that I would also ask of you guys, because we've heard a lot of conversations across the presidential campaigns and across a lot of different states now that are discussing school choice. Now, I'm personally a big proponent of school choice. I believe that the funds should follow the child. For instance, if my money is being taxed and otherwise, and I want to send my children over to a different school that I believe is going to help them better, right now, there's not a system in place to do that here.
Well, in the public school system, you can transfer wherever you want. But if you're talking about transferring that money to a private school, then that would be different because what strings would come attached with the money? So
yeah, why do you have to give the money to the government first?
Yeah, so, mm-hmm.
So that they can tell you how to spend your money.
The thing is, most, even when we were going to private school growing up, that our church school said we would never want a school choice program because anything that comes from the state would be tied to a program that I would have to run. So they were saying, you know, we teach about evolution, but we don't want to teach evolution the way that they want to teach it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's yeah. where I'm saying I believe it should, those funds should follow the child without ties or lines to it.
Matt Plummer was doing a campaign to get that into legislation. He didn't get enough signatures, but it would be something that should be brought up again for school choice.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you should have school choice. I mean, because then the teachers have incentive to perform, and the parents have incentive to go to the places where the teachers are performing the most.
And the bottom line is that the student is the one that's going to benefit.
Right. Seems like common sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And with that, we're at the end of the show.
Are we?
Yep. Right. He's going to start playing the music here. All right. Want to thank you guys for coming
in. Thank you.
Keep us updated. If they want to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
You can look me up on Facebook, Arthur Gorman. You can go to my political page or my Facebook page. I'm almost out of friends. I'm almost at 5,000, so I can only accept friends on the political page now.
All right. Thanks again for coming in and all of the information that you brought forth.
Government is reason, is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
All gun control is racist.
Working with my hands. Oh, believe me. Freedom is the only thing.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.